Welcome to the West Highland Way Race Podcasts. I'm John Kinniston, and this is episode 118. It's now Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2017, and I decided to restart the podcasts. The entry process for the West Highland Way Race is now underway, so it's a good time, I thought, to get them going. I must admit, I was in two minds about whether to start them again. They do take, obviously, a little bit of effort and time, but I was just wondering whether people really wanted them, and I've done quite a few. I've interviewed lots of different people and put lots of training ideas and various things out there. And I wonder whether that maybe it's reached its end. So I was umming and ahhing. And then I got an email from Andrew Macmillan just saying how much he was looking forward to them starting again. And he had some ideas of things that I could do to try and to get them working. So I thought I should start them again and get them going. So I put on Facebook that I was planning to do it. And did anyone have any ideas? And one of the ideas that Andrew had was to re-interview the people that I'd followed over the last 5 or 6 years. I started this in 2012, so I've had 5 years of following different people, and I've got in touch with all them, and the vast majority are keen to do that. So I'm going to put those in. I've got a bit of a program for the next 6 months or so. So I'm going to try and do them fortnightly and see if I'll keep to that. There might be one or two more, but if I can do one a fortnight, then I think that will be a good effort in a sense. So I'll see how that goes. But some great ideas from people. Quite a few people saying they're looking forward to seeing them coming. Jenny Rhys Jenkins was asking whether I could do something about food, and we have had a few issues. My good friend Cara Slosh has done that, so I might do another one on food. That will be helpful. John Munro, he had an idea about what about a legend spot, so I'm going to try and do that. I have interviewed quite a few legends over the time of doing the podcast, but I'm sure there's more people out there that I've not spoken to, so I'm going to try and pick that up and see if I can follow that. Martin Gray was asking about something about support crews. So again, we have done something on that, but that's another thing I could pick up and get someone. I think Neil Gibson has something about like to hear from the cows in Cowpoo Alley. So thank you very much for that helpful suggestion, Neil. Amanda Hamilton suggested, what about another long-time Marshall crew, Julie or Lee McLean's folks? So that's a good one. I'll pick that one up and see if I can get someone there. Jenny Yeo said that she really enjoys the podcasts and found them helpful, and just trying to get a mix of things, so we'll go with that one. And George Firmage said, where are they now? And he was thinking particularly of the folks in the closing distance, so I'll follow that one up as well. There's some people there that will be really good. Ian Minty was suggesting that I did a classics one of some of the best interviews that I've done. And Ian actually did that for the 100th issue. And I went back and I just picked out lots of different clips of different interviews. So maybe that's one for you to listen to. Amanda Hamilton said a joint interview with Fiona and Pauline. I am interviewing Pauline tonight, and I'll pick up Fiona at another time. So that's good. John Cassidy suggested one of James Stewart's crew, who wrote a really good report. That was Scott Fergus. So I'll see if I can get in touch with him and see if he can help on that. So lots of great ideas there, and that we'll follow up. So watch out, and I say I'll try and get one out once a fortnight. Now I've got them going after this one, and see if we can keep that going. Just a couple of things to mention with the race. Obviously, three things I'll mention. First one is the entries. We're now up to 331 entries, and it's the 14th of November. So we're halfway through the month where people can get their entries in. So there's still another couple of weeks to go before the entries close. We tend to find most people enter in the first week or two. There'll be some people who will be umming and ahhing and wondering whether they're going to put an application in and maybe even do it in the last moments. So we imagine the number will go up a little bit. But even with 331, there will be a ballot now. We offer 300 places this year. You'll see on the website, we're not going to do the relay this year, which means that we can take some more individual places. So the idea is we're going to offer 300 places, and that will reduce by about 25%, though 25%, or certainly at least 50 or so, will probably won't make the start line going on past experience. But there won't be a waiting list. So once we accept the 300 and people drop out, then we're getting to pretty well the limit that we're looking for, rather than offering that many and if someone drops out, offering more places. That's the way we do it with the race. And then the other two things I want to mention is things that we've done regularly over the last few years. One is an inspiration night, and more than likely it'll be in Stirling. We're just confirming the date, but it will be somewhere hopefully in the middle of January. And so that will be a good kickstart for lots of people who have got a place in the race and are starting to think about their training. And it's always a great evening with a panel and various speakers looking at different aspects from the sharp end of the race and also right throughout to those who are going to finish in just under 35 hours. And then the other one to put in your diary is a training weekend, and that is the Saturday, the 26th of January. Some people stay at the Oak Tree in Balmerhart on the Friday and Saturday. Lots of people just come for the run itself on the Saturday. There's details on the website, westharlemwayrace.org, so you'll be able to find out. If you do want to stay for the night or for two nights, then I suggest you go on the website, look at the post about that, and get in touch pretty soon. I've not heard whether it's fully booked yet, but normally it does fill up. So if you want to join us, and particularly you want to stay for the whole weekend, then make sure you get your places. So there's the plan. There's some dates for your diary. Now, for this first podcast back, after a bit of a break, I thought it'd be great to interview Pauline Walker. Pauline just recently completed her 100th ultra, and it's just a great achievement over a number of years. And so I've been in touch with Pauline. She hasn't got Skype, but her twin sister Fiona has, so I think she's heading over there. And it's 6:30 now, I'm recording this, and I'm going to chat to Pauline about 7:00. So it'll be good to chat to her. And I've got lots of great questions on Facebook, and I've got some other questions as well. So hopefully that's going to be a really good interview, and I'm looking forward to chatting to Pauline. And I don't normally do this, but I thought I'd read out a little bit about Pauline. This was written by Fiona, her twin sister, Fiona Rennie, and after their run in the Glen Ogle 33, which was the 100th ultra for Pauline. So this is what Fiona wrote about Pauline. "What a very special day yesterday to run with Pauline in the spectacular autumnal colours of Glen Ogle 33 with our running family, celebrating her 100th ultra. We did a wee bit of reminiscing during the race, and here's how she got there. Pauline's first ultra was her local Two Bridges race in 1993. She ran it every year for 13 years until its demise in 2005 and finished First Lady in 1996. The majority of her races have been on the trails of Scotland, 12 Speyside Way ultras, 5 Highland Flings, 4 Great Glen ultras, 5 Glenmore 24s and 10 West Highland Way races, finishing First Lady in 2002. She has also travelled to South Africa to run the Comrades twice, and not so far away running quite a few races in England, including 6 Draco Water 35s, and finished First Lady and 4th overall at the 24 Hour at the British Ultra Fest 2013. Among her highlights, in 1999 she was called up to run for Scotland for the first time in the Anglo-Celtic Plate, an annual home nations championship of 100 kilometres. She was selected again for the championship a further 5 times. Pauline has excelled at 24-hour racing, making her debut at Hull in 2003, finishing First Lady. She has since completed 14 races in this discipline, representing Great Britain at World and European Championship level on four occasions in Canada, France and Italy twice. She has also represented Scotland on two occasions at 24 hours in the Commonwealth Ultra Distance Championship, coming home with team bronze with fellow Carnegie Harrier Lynn Cutts and myself in Cumbria in 2009, repeating the team bronze when the competition was held in North Wales in 2011 with Debbie Martin-Consani and Sharon Law. Overall, she broke her own Scottish record four times. Oops, my mistake, I've been informed it's only three. And at the Perth Ultra Festival in 2008, on her way to a 24-hour personal best of 209.77 kilometres, which is 130.34 miles. She set new Scottish records for 24 hours, 100 miles and 200 kilometres, finishing First Lady and second overall. Pauline has covered over 5,000 miles in all these ultras. They are the icing on the cake. She has covered over 50,000 miles in training and other races, 64 being marathons, and has no intention of hanging up her running shoes yet. So, what a tremendous CV of runs. So, congratulations to Pauline, and I'm looking forward to chatting to her in a few minutes, and I'm sure you're looking forward to hearing the interview and hearing a bit more about the story behind her 100 ultras. So tonight for our West Highland Way Race podcast, we've got the great honour of having Pauline Walker. Pauline, as you've just heard in the intro, has just finished her 100th ultra. So thank you very much, Pauline, for coming to chat to us tonight. And I wanted to start just by asking you to introduce yourself. Now, I'm sure lots of people know all about you, but hopefully there might be some that don't. So if you could just give us a little bit of who you are.
Thanks, John. A wee potted history. I would describe myself as a wee fifey wifey who kind of fell into running a good few years ago now, and it's, you know, with no major plan to do X, Y, or Z, and I've just kind of I wouldn't say floated into it, but just kind of bimbled along and done surprisingly well out of it. As you said, I've done about 100th ultra. Again, when I first started running, there was no way that was a plan, or even, you know, it was only really the last couple of years when the numbers were kind of totting up, and I'm thinking, oh, 100 ultras, how long is that going to take? And I thought to myself, another 3 or 4 years, but I did cram a few in last year and this year, so managed to finish up the season rather well.
Yeah, excellent. So what attracted you to ultras in particular?
Well, coming from Rosyth, there was one of the old classic races called the Two Bridges Road Race, and that had been around since the mid-60s. And it was, you know, old guys in string vests and plimsolls and, you know, that kind of thing. And they would, it was 36 miles on the road. A lot of that road didn't have pavements. It was open road with traffic. And they started at the Glen, Pitton Creek Park in Dunfermline, went over Kincardine Bridge along the south side of the Forth, back over the Forth Road Bridge, and finished at the Civil Service Club in Rosyth, 36 miles later. And coming from Rosyth, heard about that and had done a few marathons. Fiona's husband Pete had done it. And I thought, oh, I wonder, could I give that a bash? And I did. And then did again and again. And so see, that was kind of where I cut my teeth, I suppose, on the road race.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, we've got some great questions on Facebook, so we're going to come to those in a few minutes. But I just wanted to maybe just talk a little bit about the West Highland Way in particular, because obviously this podcast is, that's the main thing we want to talk about. So your first one was in 1997, which is a long time ago now. Okay. And you I just want to get a sense of what it was like in those days. That was because my first one was 2007, so that was another 10 years later. So I'm really intrigued just to get a sense of what it was like entry-wise, the size of the race, and just give us some of your thoughts.
Yeah, 1997, it has changed a lot. Back then, there were only 40 people running in the race. To be honest, I hadn't heard of it. It was my another running friend, Bill Duff, who'd suggested that we do it, and unfortunately he got injured and he didn't run. But I'd done the training and I thought, right, I'm going to do it. At that time, I'd only previously done 7 ultras, so it was my 8th ultra. The longest prior to that was the 36-mile road race. So it was a huge leap into the unknown. Mm-hmm. Hadn't really done an awful lot of trail running. I'd done the Speyside Way 50K. How many times? That was 4 times, I think. So again, not a huge amount of experience on trails either. And at that time, the internet hadn't even been invented. There wasn't the information. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't have a clue what I was getting into. But a lot of my memories when I'm running on the West Highland Way do go back to that very, very first time. It was the very few runners. I was on my own a lot. And I kind of felt, oh, this whole trail is mine. And it's so different now. There's been a lot of path improvements, which is quite good. But, there was like sort of jumping on floating logs or through a swamp. And, that nowadays you've got little bridges and wee step ladders and things. So it's the path isn't easy, but it's, there's no crocodiles now with the swamps and things like that. But I think it was perhaps a little bit more challenging underfoot than it is now. But as I say, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Okay, in that race...
I was going to say, there weren't very many ladies running then at that time. That first race, from memory, I think there was maybe four ladies running in it. I can't remember. I'm looking at Fiona, can't remember. But not very many ladies, and not an awful lot of men either. Mm. But it was just I remember one of the really nice memories I have was going through, and again, I didn't really know the route particularly well at that point. I think it was just past Rowerden and going through the trees. It was early morning, the birds were singing, and I just thought, this is lovely, Another sort of 20-odd hours later, and I'm sort of shambling along, ladding, whatever. I don't know if I'd have thought that at the same time, but the first time took me 34 hours. It was a massive achievement at the time.
I've got your time there. You were 34 hours and 2 minutes and 53 seconds. So well done on that first one.
Yes. But I tend to forget about minutes and seconds. I kind of call it hours now.
Well, it was just over 34, so that's good. So after that race, were you really keen to do it again, or some people they do it and that's it, they've done it once. But obviously, you've gone on to do 10 and all these ultras. But so was it always the thought, I want to do better?
Having done it that first time, I then did it again the following year in 98 because I thought, right, I've learned such a lot. Mm. I can put some of that into practice. And that second year, I think I knocked something like 7 hours off my time. And again, that was just the experience from what I'd learned from the first year.
And then you did it for a number of years, didn't you? And I've seen your times. They're all on the website there. They're all, they're sort of quite consistent. And then in 2002, you won the race, didn't you? You won the ladies' race.
Yes, I did.
That was in 27 hours, 27. So again, have you got some good memories of that one? Was it a tussle with somebody, or were you on your own again?
No, not really. I think from memory that was a very wet year, and I don't know if I was kind of just like last woman standing, you know. Yes, that was a year. There was myself and my other club mate, Lynn Kaz. She finished as well. Was that the year there was only 11 finishers? And there was only two ladies who completed, and that was myself and Lynn finished. That was one of those biblical years, I think.
Yeah. And I'm sure in the time you've ran it, you must have had all sorts of weathers, from heat waves to the biblical weather of the rain and the storms.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, from a heat wave. The years kind of blur. I don't have that memory's from such and such a year. The memories that have stuck are from the first year, and then the other years, it's like, oh, it was just one of the years. There's some really hot years. There's been kind of like hailstones and thunder, lightning. Running along the Lanigmore with Lynn, and it was thunder and lightning. I think Lynn was crew that year. And I was sort of thinking, well, at least she's taller than me. The lightning, okay. we saw it, I think, was that 98? I think. Coming round, we'd gone up Devil Staircase, and we could see the lightning from a distance, and it was kind of circling round, and it was coming round, and then it hit us, and it just whomp. We couldn't have been better if we didn't be a bucket of water had been chucked at us. It was interesting.
And then the next race I wanted to pick out was in 2008, and that was your personal best. And it was quite a few hours quicker. It was 22 hours, 01:42. So again, was that a particular year that you just went for it, or you were fitter? Or give us a bit of a story of that one.
Yeah, I mean, the year before, I'd done, I think it was 23 hours, 19. So I'd broken to 24. And I thought, right, could I get 23, so 22 hours and 1 minute. Yeah, that was like 59 minutes inside my target, so that went quite well. Again, it was one of those years where everything went right, the weather was good, I was fit, and was moving really nicely the whole way. And I think from... was at King's House, I then kind of thought, right, I can get this. I can get a really good time here. Mm. And just sort of motored on. I remember getting at the top of Devil's Staircase. I think for the last sort of 20-odd miles, I was on Coca-Cola, chocolate and coffee.
Right.
And I just motored the whole way. And it was also still daylight. And that was a big thing going over Lanigmore. I was with my friend Sue Walker. She was running with me at that section, and I was really pushing it, and I couldn't believe how quickly I felt I was running. And she actually sort of tried to sort of give a wee word of caution just in case the wheels fell off. And I remember saying, look, no, I'm going to push it, I'm going to work hard, I'm just going to go for it, and if the wheels fall off, so be it. And so I really worked hard on that last sort of section, and I wanted to get in without having to use the torch. It was chasing the daylight, and I think that's why I worked so hard in that last sort of 10 miles or so. When we got to Linda Bra, there was it was a wee bit dim, but I didn't want to put my torch on. It's not dark yet. I'm still going, and finished in Fort William just on 11 o'clock, and at that time of year, it's not dark. It was sort of dusk, but it wasn't dark. So that was my aim, to get in before it got dark. So
yeah.
I think that was one of the things that kind of just was able to keep me focused on just pushing hard and just keeping moving.
Yeah.
That, the Coke and chocolate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how these times that they can just give us that extra motivation, can't they, to aim for something and to push on when it starts to hurt. Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, I mean, you always kind of know when it gets dark, your energy dips, and you do slow down just because it's dark and you can't see. So that was why I thought, gamble and push it and just get as far as I can if the dark gets me, I'll just have to slow down. But it was like I was going as hard as I could until the dark got me, and I got to the pub.
Well done. And then the last one I just wanted to pick out was the last one that you did in 2012, and that was 27 hours 42. So again, that was the last one you did, so that's quite a few years ago. So is that going to be the last one, or how come you've not run the last few years?
Well, never say never. The last few years, because I've done the last five or five in a row, and prior to that I'd done, let's say, maybe two in a row, took a couple of years off, two in a row, take some time off. But the last five was five in a row, and I thought, I need a wee break from that. And I've been sporting Fiona all this time, and I quite like that as well. And as I said, my new toy at the moment is the Great Glen, because I'm still enjoying doing that. But and I've also suggested to Fiona, maybe we could swap, and she could do the Great Glen, and I'll do the West Island Way, and she could crew for me, and then I can do her spot at the Great Glen. But, you know, we'll wait and see. But never say never.
Yeah. Because that 2012, that was your 10th, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think you were the first female, weren't you?
Number.
Yeah, and you were the first female to reach 10, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
So that's again, that's a great achievement, isn't it? So well done on that one. Okay, so I think we'll move on to these questions. I'll get these up on my iPad here. So it's always good to get other people's questions and what they want to hear. So we'll just work our way through these. Here we go. So the first one was from Ian Garnett, and he said, huge respect to Pauline, amazing achievement. My question would be, what is her secret to longevity in this sport and not burning out early?
I would say listen to your body. It will let you know if there's something not right. And I heard somebody talking, and it was actually Glenn Ogle, say, push through the pain. And I'm thinking, no, don't push through the pain. Tippy toe around it. because I think, if your body's telling you something, there's, this bit's achy or that bit, listen to it, deal with it, and allow time for rest and recovery. I think some people nowadays get a wee bit number happy with, I've got my weekly mileage target to reach, and they do that come hell or high water. If you're feeling a little bit off or a little bit tired, don't, I've been always sort of quite relaxed about, hang on a minute, that's a bit too easy, I'm just going to take it easy today. The next day I'm feeling fine again. So rest and recovery is a very important part of your training program. And I think sometimes that might be a little bit neglected in some people.
Yeah. So in that 20 years, have you had many bad injuries?
Not really. I've a little bit of lower back stiffness, nothing major. I had an Achilles problem in 2005. I've had a grumpy Achilles this year, but it hasn't stopped me running. As I say, I can tippy-toe around it. So it's sort of eased back on the intensity, nothing that's put me on the sidelines really. So that's rude. That's been fine.
Yeah. And as far as races go, are you someone who likes to do less races and do them the best your ability, or are there times where you've done lots of races knowing that the quality is not as good?
Yeah, both. I mean, earlier on, few years ago, I was quite specific and I would be quite focused and I'd be going for performances. Now it's this year and last year I've become a little bit of a race junkie, but it's more about my attitude has changed a little bit as well, whereas I know I'm not going to get the times without putting the training in that I have done. So I'm on a sort of a grand day out kind of ideology, where I'm out with friends, I'm out in the sunshine, and I'm taking it easier. I've got my little hip flask, and just having a good day out.
Yeah. great. Well, it's obviously worked for you, isn't it? Because you've, you know, I think to still be running strongly 20 years later is a great achievement. George Firmich says, what's three biggest changes that you've seen over the years in ultra running? You can have more if you want, but he's asked for three of the biggest changes.
Certainly there's more people. There's a lot more people running now. There's a lot more races. I mean, certainly the first sort of 10 years when I was doing ultras, there was maybe three or four ultras. Now, oh my goodness, there's 20s. I don't know how many ultras there are in the calendar now. But yeah, there weren't that very many ultras. There's certainly a lot more to choose from now. And there's a lot more people doing it. And there's a lot more ladies running, which is really nice. And I'm pleased to see that.
What about sort of changes with sense of getting places? You know, I know when you started, you could get a place a week or two before the West Highland Way if you wanted to. Now we have a ballot and there's lots more entries. So is that something you've seen a big change?
Yes, forgetting about that. Back in the day, you'd fill out a form, write a cheque, put a stamped address envelope in the post, and you know, a week later your number would come in, and you'd even enter 1 or 2 weeks beforehand. The ultra running is kind of a little bit a victim of its own success, because I do get a little bit fed up with the stampede to enter races. You know, it's a race before the race, and you've got to enter very early now. And some, you know, you don't know what level of fitness you're going to have in spring next year. Your fingers crossed you're going to be fine. So, you know, you're having to commit very early. Whereas before, you could wait and see and thinking, actually, yeah, I'm feeling good, I'll enter this race. I think it's a good, healthy environment now. You know, you've got a lot of people, and there's a lot of support, and there's a lot of really good races out there. And there's a lot of new ones as well. There's even this year, there's some new ones coming out.
Yeah, I think I looked somewhere in Scotland alone, there's over 35, maybe even 40 now, which is incredible, isn't it? You keep hearing about races that I hadn't even heard about, and then suddenly they've been run. So there's certainly a big choice. The next question is from Annette Florzak. Annette has done the West Highland Way a couple of times from America. I don't know if you met her when she came over. But she was asking how many years it's taken you to get to 100, and how much rest do you take post-event?
My first one was 93. So what's that, 24? Yeah, 24 years. It's taken 24 years to do that. But I would maybe average about 4 or 5 ultras in a year. So it's, you know, it's just the last few years I've kind of crammed them in. The rest afterwards, I mean, something like the West Highland Way, I would take a full month off dead easy. Just do absolutely nothing. Maybe go for a walk, or maybe a gentle jog, or a little bit of a bimbo kind of thing after a couple of weeks, just making sure everything was okay. And then the second month after that, just easing back gently into it. I think people underestimate how much that can take out of you, something like that, if you haven't done it before. I mean, obviously, if you've done it before, your recovery is quicker, but... my goodness, that first time when I did the West Highland Weddling, I could walk for a week, never mind. go and do a park run the next day or something.
Okay, excellent. John Cassidy wants to know about nutrition. What's been good, bad, and downright awful for Pauline?
Good. Well, I've been drinking ginger beer for many years now, and that's my stalwart of fluid. I'll take the fizz out of it and I'll dilute it with water. In the summer, maybe half and half, you know, half ginger beer, half water. In the winter, a slightly stronger ginger beer mix because it's warming. Ginger beer is also a natural anti-inflammatory, so it's not banned. And it's very good in your stomach. So it's a good all-round drink. It's sugar in it, you know, as well. So I've been drinking that for, oh my goodness, 20 odd years. So in drop bags, or, you know, I used to have little bottles of ginger beer in there. That's So that, yeah, the ginger beer is a very positive thing that I've used in the past. On big races, I like real food, you know, sort of soup or pasta. The 48-hour race I did at British Ultra Fest, you're going around a 400-metre track, so I would get cups of tea and chocolate digestives. So that kept me going a while.
Yeah.
But for shorter races, I still like Sweeties Twix bars, macaroon bars, fudge, you know, that kind of thing. I have used gels in the past, but it's only because I get them in a goodie bag at the end. I don't go out and buy them. Downright awful. I remember I've had crisps once and I spat them out. I didn't like them. I didn't like crisps. It was almost like it just didn't work at all. But there's things that have been really good in a race, and then you use it again, another race, and then I thought, oh no, I didn't like that. So it's you kind of mix and match, I suppose. You know.
Have you found as well that sometimes a food works in one race, and then you try it in another race, and for whatever reason, it doesn't agree with you?
Yeah, I remember doing a 100K one time, and it was rice pudding. It was great, it was fab. So then the next time, doing another race, and I was just like a mouthful, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, nah, that's not working. Mm. And then end up having to get something else. But your body can be different one day to another day, so it's not a machine. You can't just keep putting the same old oil in. Yeah. You've got to, you know, it might have a grump and sort of think, no, I'm not having that, I'll have something else.
Yeah.
You didn't have, very similar to shot blocks. I used to, in the early days, have jelly cubes.
Mm.
You know, you just chop them into little bits. In fact, Fiona probably reminded me there was one time I was perhaps a little bit fussy when I wanted half a jelly cube. I couldn't bite it and spit the other half out, of course. I just wanted half of one.
Yeah. Actually, John also says, I'd like to state, Pauline is one of those people who typify ultra running. Unassuming and humble, always a kind word of encouragement for all. Congratulations on the 100, Pauline, and here's to many more. So, and I'm sure lots of people would echo that as well. So that's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lois Simpson says, if you're going through a tricky time or a race, how do you keep going if things get a bit hard? Because I've only ever seen you smiling, so she's not seeing you in a grump. But if you do have a tough time, have you got tactics to get through that?
The kind of thing is, I'm there because I want to be there, and if I'm a little bit wet or I'm a little bit cold or a little bit tired, well, big deal. You know, there's a lot of worse things going on at sea, as they say, and, you know, I'm very lucky to be there to be able to do what I want to do. Okay, right now, in this minute, I'm not happy, but at the end of it, give me an hour and it'll be past, it'll be over, you know. Don't dwell on the how cold and miserable I am. Think about, you know, your reward at the end, whether it's a pint of beer or a nice warm jumper or just, you know, look at the sunrise or wait for the sunrise and enjoy it when it comes, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, just being very positive, always look for that silver lining. It might be just getting that stone out your shoe. Great. Just being positive, I think. There's no point in being miserable because that's not going to make you quicker.
It's amazing if you can have that positive attitude, isn't it? The difference it makes, I think, physically. You know, whereas if you're negative, that really does start to affect you, doesn't it?
Because you end up going down a sort of like a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And it's, get people, I don't like this, I don't want to be here. Well, go on then, stop, get in the car. I'm not always jolly all the time, but it's, you chose to be here, with it.
Yeah.
So I'm not very sympathetic either.
No, a great attitude, yeah. Now, we've got a good question from Andy Jump. He wants to know how do you manage to keep finishing ahead of Fiona? But Noni actually said that Fiona's beaten you a few times, and she wants to know, do you keep a tally? So when you do races together, have you got a bit of a tally going between you?
Well, no, we haven't actually. Yeah, I think Fiona's had better performances at Glenmore, I think, in general. But yeah, when we've been running together, we tend to, you know, we're quite happy to run together, or we may just do our own thing, or somebody stops, the other one keeps going. If you catch up, fine. If you don't catch up, well, that's it, sort of thing. But no, there's not actually a tally. But yeah, if I'm behind her, I like to try and keep an eye on her and try and catch up.
Yeah.
I think I'm more competitive than Fiona.
Okay. I must admit, I watched you in the Dunoon Ultra because Katrina was running, and I think you finished just ahead, but Fiona was closing quickly, I think, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, have you seen the photos?
I know, that's right.
She looked like she'd been wrestling a bear. That's right. She'd fallen over and used her face as a stopping block or something.
That's right. She came in with blood pouring down her lip, didn't she?
Yeah. But yeah, if she hadn't fallen over, she might have been even closer.
Yeah. But he was also asking, apart from your medal for Scotland, what would you say was your greatest ultra achievement and why?
That stands out very easily for me is my performance at the Perth, the Ultra Fest, the 24 Hours in 2008.
Right.
Where a personal best for me at that time, well, it still is, 130 miles in 24 hours. Which was a Scottish record at the time. I also set on the way to that two other Scottish records, which again was 100 miles in 17 hours and 10 or 11 minutes or something. And then 200k in 23 hours and I can't remember however many minutes. Mm. But and then, you know, first lady, but I was also second overall. So, you know, I was in front of a few of the chaps, which yeah. I was quite chuffed with as well.
Yeah, well done. Oh, that's impressive. Okay, and then John Munro wants to know, what was your best West Highland Way and what made the difference that year?
We've already spoken about it. Would have been the year when I did the 22 hours again, just because the weather was right, I was fit, and yeah, I managed to stay in daylight, and my eating was fine. I was only out for 22 hours, you know. So. It was easier. These folk that do it in like 14 hours and 13 hours, wherever, they're like part-timers, you know. So, yeah, I have to say, you know, the 22 hours was a lot easier than the 34 hours.
Yeah. And he's also intrigued to know whether you get fed up of being called Fiona.
Well, no, I'm used to it. I answer to Fiona, actually, and Fiona answers to Pauline, you know. Right. So we've been called all our days.
Yeah. I always find it very helpful when you run with the names on your vest, because then you've got a chance then. Yeah,
Fiona got those made specially for when we did the 48-hour race, because she wasn't sharing any of her laps with me.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea. And then Daniela Ua wants to know, what was your first race and how did you end up running ultramarathons? So I think you mentioned that a bit, but do you
want to
add anything?
Yeah, my race was 1986-87, Fiona's nodding, which was a 10-mile race in Kirkcaldy. And that was a kind of a, we planned to do Dunfermline half marathon. That was going to be our first half marathon. And this was a sort of little stepping stone, a little training run for it. I mean, we didn't have you didn't have 5Ks, you didn't have 10Ks or park runs. You didn't have all these nice little easy stepping stones. It was a 10-mile race and then into the half marathon. I can't even remember how long it took us, but it was a very small field. It was about 20 or 30 guys, me and Fiona, and the guys disappeared off. And I think the guy with the clipboard was waiting for us at the end when we finished, so it was nice of him to wait for us.
Excellent. Neil Scott would like to know, what changes have you noticed from the first to the last West Harlem Way race? We've covered a little bit of that, but in particular, kit used, and also in the organisation.
Kit used. Well, I've still got the same bag. It's a low alpine bag with a hole for your bottle and then two pockets either side. So it's stood the test of time. I still use that.
Wow.
You've got, well, nowadays, even before you had bum bags, when I was doing training runs, I didn't even know you had things like that. I used to drive round a route, plant bottles in the bushes, run round, and then, drive round again and collect the empties. So, a bum bag was quite innovative at the time. So, what do you call them nowadays? Race vests, they're really good.
Yeah.
Where you can have everything, bottles and stuff. That's quite handy.
Yeah.
And being able to carry things with you. Waterproofs and things, they seem to have come on a lot better.
Mm.
It was kind of like a bin bag with sleeves before. Whereas, you get all this sort of technical stuff now. But even then, I've got assorted different waterproofs and I tend not to wear one unless I want to keep warm. I'm not too bothered about trying to keep dry because if you're out a long time, you're not really going to stay dry. As long as you stay warm, that's the important thing.
Yeah. What about shoes? Have you seen a big change in what you wore footwear-wise?
Not really. I've kind of stuck to Nike and Saucony. Saucony for kind of off-road stuff, Nike for road stuff. It's certainly a lot more expensive now. I just buy last year's colours, so it's fine. And I've kind of stuck to the same. So I haven't tried Hoka's or anything like that. That old adage about if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm sticking to the old, tried and tested that have suited me over the years.
Yeah. And he also wants to know, what's your funniest and darkest moments during the West Harlem Way race?
Oh, crumbs. Funniest. Fiona's just reminded me of, I didn't find it funny at the time, but it was my second year of doing the West Highland Way, and I was ahead of schedule and coming into Rowardennan, and I'm looking for my crew because I'm thinking, right, I want my bottle of ginger beer and I want my bit of soda malt loaf or whatever it was at the time. I couldn't find them. And I thought I was getting a wee bit, if they take the dogs for a walk or where are we? And then I thought, oh, there's the van. We peek in the window. Oh, they're all asleep. Just give them a wee bang. Ding, 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 ding. Not realising how loud that was in the van. And Simon actually jumped out, sorted me, and I'm thinking, right, that's fine, thank you, and off I went. And afterwards, Fiona said she was traumatised and felt kind of a bit unwell on the road going, on the other side of the law. But I hit the van a bit more heartily than I thought I was. I didn't have mobile phones in those days, so, I got there. It was, none of this get the kit along kind of thing. Darkest moments. Nothing's really springing to mind. One of the other changes that you had was, in the early days, the race started at 3 o'clock in the morning rather than 1 o'clock. So you were most definitely, unless you're super duper fast, going through a second night. And I remember getting, was it the second year, not allowing enough time and just coming off Rannoch Moor without a torch with a friend. And we were fine, but you kind of thought, oh, that was a wee bit of a mistake. We survived. We actually had a bit of a scare where we could see something in the distance and couldn't really see what it was. And it wasn't, that was a staff. Is that like a ghost or something? I thought, nah. And I said to Lynn, could you see that? And she went, oh, yes, I can. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is it? And it was a blooming windsock. you know, as you come into the White Quarries, or the Glencoe Ski Centre, they call it now, and just without a torch, not seeing that, just thing flapping about, and you thought, oh, crumbs. But, you know, but, yeah, nothing, you know. I mean, that was kind of a sort of a funny thing as well, but, you know. Yeah, I've never been down a big black hole in the head or anything like that.
Hold up. We've got a question from Brenda Nixon, Dixon. Sorry. She's asking, have you ever had a personal trainer or are you just super dedicated to your own plan?
Yeah, self-coached. What was the Tim Noakes' Lore of Running? It was a bit of a Bible back in the day. And that was dipped into that a few times as well, just getting some good advice. Because again, I mean, you just read books, you subscribed to Runner's World or Running World, whatever it was, and you'd read up about what other people were doing and maybe do that or try these things. Again, another thing, a slight difference as well, is that because there's so much information available, I think people kind of lose confidence to try something. Mm. It's like they put a question out, when should I wear my sunglasses? Yeah. You know, I mean, for heaven's sakes. But, you know, just be willing to try something. You know, give it a go. Don't ask the next person. If you fancy doing something, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, good. Well done. Julie Marshall is a bit more interested in the future. What are your future running goals? And is there any race that you have not yet done that you would like to?
Future running goals. I would just like to keep going. Mm. I think, you know, I might be a little bit more specific about what races I do next year, although I've already entered a few. Something I haven't done, which I would like to do, is the Medoc Marathon, or Medoc Marathon, the wine one. I quite fancy doing that, getting some friends out and give that a bash.
Okay, we've got a couple of questions from Amanda Hamilton and Stuart McFarlane about will you ever do the West Highland Way again, and what attracted you to ultras, but I think we've answered those. But Gavin Harvey wants to know, who is the best post-ultra Kaylee dancer, Donald or Cray?
It's like, well, Donald was at the last Kaylee I was at. Craig wasn't, so I'll have to say Donald.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that'll make him happy. Yeah. And then we've got two more questions to finish before we do the quick fire ones. And Amanda Hamilton says, what's your favourite section of the West Highland Way and your favourite West Highland Way memory?
Favourite section is kind of, it's like, I like the bit I'm on. Oh, I like this bit. Oh, I like this bit. It might be easier to say the bits I don't like. I don't like going the descent down into Kinlochleven. I sort of think, just the zip wire, get right across and miss that bit out. Yeah. I think that's the only bit I don't like, is the descent into Kinlochleven. I like all the other bits. And yeah. I like the Loch Lomond section. That's nice.
Yeah. And a favourite memory? What has anything that stand out above all others?
A favourite memory. I think not so much one of my own West Highland Ways, but running with Fiona last year, and we all finished with tutus on. I thought that was good. You know, we decided on having tutus because it's, you know, if everybody's got a midginette on, it's hard to see, you know, to identify. So we thought, if we have these tutus, you know, we can sort of say, oh, that's Fiona, can see us from a distance, that's where we are. And we did the last little bit with Fiona as a bit of a, you know, an entourage with all our tutus on, and that was good fun.
Yeah. And then she also wants to know, between you and Fiona, who is the easiest to crew for?
Yeah. I asked our crew that question on Saturday night because we were out having a bit of a social, and they said it was a difficult one to answer. It was almost like, which child do you love the most? You know, You couldn't really answer the question. So I don't know.
That's fine. And then the last one we got on Facebook, Lon Chok, says, if you could only run one more ultra, which one of the 100 would you return to and why that one?
That's a difficult choice. It would be between the West Highland Way or the Great Glen. Done the West Highland Way 10 times, so the Great Glen I've done 4. So I would have to maybe say the Great Glen just because I haven't done it as many times as the West Highland Way. There's still bits in there that still feel quite new. Yeah. So I'll go with the Great Glen.
Okay, excellent. And then I just want to finish with these quickfire questions. And I've asked these for lots of different people on these podcasts. And I think it just gives a little bit of a flavour of some of the preferences that you have. And this is particularly for the West Highland Way race. Okay. So yeah. Shoes, would you wear road or trail shoes?
Both.
Right, okay.
I've changed them.
Oh, right. Okay. And is that a regular thing you would change at the same place?
Yeah, road shoes for the early part and then trail shoes maybe from Rowarden and on.
Okay. And then you just stick with trail shoes for the rest of the route?
Yeah.
Okay. And your favourite food to keep you going when energy levels are low, what do you turn to?
Twix.
Twix. Okay, excellent. Would you run with a hydration pack or water bottles?
The hydration pack.
Right, okay. And would you just drink water or do you like an energy drink?
Ginger beer,
yeah. I'm going to try that, actually. That sounds a good one. Is that fizzy you have or still?
Let it go flat and then just put water to taste. It depends if you like your ginger beer strong or watery. Yeah, right. just as much as you like.
Okay, well, that's a good tip from an ultra expert. Would you take extra salt tablets?
No, never. I'd never take salt. It's like drinking the sea. If I do have anything salty, it's those cheese tuck sandwiches. And that's just, I mean, if there's salt in stuff that's already, like in soup or pasta, there's already salt in there, I'd never add salt and I don't take salt tablets.
Right. Okay. Do you run with a watch or with a GPS device or do you have nothing on your wrist?
I wear a watch and it just kind of tells me the time of day it tells me how long I've been out. I train with a Garmin and it just kind of collates the information for looking at later. But yeah, certainly in races I don't wear a Garmin. In fact, somebody said to me quite recently, what sort of battery life does your watch have? And I said, about 7 years.
Brilliant. Your support crew, would you have one or two teams for the West Highland Way?
Pretty much one team, but you have reinforcements arriving round about Tyndrum, so you've got like a fresh head, just adding to the gang.
Okay. And do you listen to music or podcasts or anything, or do you like to have nothing in your ears?
I have listened to music, but more on the 24-hour races. For the wee hours in the morning when if you're doing laps, you've seen the scenery already. Music helps in the sort of wee hours. But if West Island Way or any of the trail runs, I don't use music because, just the surroundings is music enough.
Yeah. Excellent. Have you got a favourite mantra to keep you going?
Yes. There's one I can say, and there's another one I can't. But the one I can say, I just keep telling myself, head up, shoulders back, and relax. And I always breathe out on the when I say relax, and it just, or energy, breathing in the energy and the fatigue out, using my breath on that one.
Right.
Another one's just a repetitive sweetie word.
Right, okay. Again, good advice there. Have you got something you look forward to most when you finish the West Highland Way?
Oh, yes. I usually have like a wee can of beer and a packet of salted peanuts, although I don't really eat salt, but I'll have, I specifically have salty peanuts for afterwards. but I wouldn't have them during the race. But yeah, can of beans and salted peanuts.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, have you got a final tip for anyone who's thinking of doing the West Highland Way race?
Just to relax and enjoy it. I mean, certainly if it's your first time, throw the watch out the window. 35-hour time limit is loads, you know. Don't worry too much about time. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so Pauline, you finished 100 ultras. Have you got plans to try and do another 100, or have you got a limit? Have you got a target in mind?
No. I'm actually doing another one on Sunday. And it's, well, I'm blaming Fiona, and Fiona's blaming Colin Knox. He put a link up about the River Tweed or Tweed Valley Ultra. Fiona said, oh, that sounds nice. And I'm thinking, well, Fiona's doing it, I'll do it as well. So I'll need to sort of find it. It's near Peebles somewhere. So we're going to do that on Sunday. But after that, I'm going to have a little rest. And then next year, I'll keep going. The Great Glen, doing fling, various other bits and bobs. But yeah, might not do quite as many as I've done this year. But just keep doing what I can.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much for tonight. It's been great to speak to you and just to catch up on some of the races you've done and some of your memories. And I'm sure there's lots of little tips in there that will help people. And I think it's folks like yourself and Fiona who've been involved in ultra running for so long that just help those that have only come into it in the last year or two just to get a sense of the history of it in some ways. You're very much in part of the history of the West Highland Way. And we really appreciate that. So it's great that you're still there and still doing it.
Oh, well, thanks very much, John. And I also want to say as well, thank you very much to all the lovely comments that have been on Facebook and whatever. I mean, I didn't expect all the media kerfuffle, to be honest. But it's been lovely, and people have been really nice. And it's just thought, if I could do it, other folk can, but thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I think it's appreciated, and I say people just enjoy, and I think for those of us who've done a few, to think, wow, to do 100, it's a great achievement. So, no, congratulations, and we look forward to seeing you do many more, and we'll cheer you on. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Right, thank you very much. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the West Highland Way Race podcast. There's going to be another one in a couple of weeks' time. And as I mentioned at the beginning, hopefully I'll try and get them out fortnightly over the next 6 months leading up to the 2018 West Highland Way Race. So thanks for listening. And I hope if you've been out on the trail somewhere and you've been running and you've had a good run and this has whiled away some of the run, or if you've been listening in the car or at home, wherever you are, then thanks for listening. And if you've got any more ideas of things that you'd like to hear, then please get in touch. But I've got some ideas which I'll mention in the next episode of things that I'm going to cover. So thanks again. Thanks for listening. And look forward to seeing you out on the trail soon. So bye for now.